Today on Geffen Playhouse Unscripted, we are joined by actor, producer, director, author. What else can you do, Bryan Cranston?
I sweep floors.
You do?
And I load a dishwasher really, really well.
Do you unload it?
Not too many.
Okay. We could give you a job in our
house. The talent is loading it, not unloading.
No, the talent is buying the dishes that fit together and not the dishes that I buy that don't fit in the dishwasher.
Well, I could teach you how they can fit.
Okay, Bryan, thank you. That's Bryan Cranston on Geffen Playhouse Unscripted. Be sure to listen on Podcast One or through the Podcast One app and Apple Podcasts.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for making all of this possible. All right, Drewski.
I got a bunch of stuff, but I want to go to that call up there, if you don't mind. We'll do that.
There's a couple.
Yeah.
Let's get there. One guy's been on hold for a long time. Right. Hey, Tony, 40, San Francisco.
Hey, sir. How are you, Adam?
Good.
How are you, Drew?
Hey, Tony, before you talk one second, it occurred to me, you know, I know, Adam, you don't read Twitter, and I kind of overreact, but people always give us shit for not taking enough calls on this show. If they want to hear calls, my podcast, I'll do just call show. I'll just do calls. This show is not necessarily a call show. I mean, we like calls and we use them, right? Am I wrong?
But to be critical,
because we did one call or didn't get to a call. It's like, that's not the point.
No. Look, I do a show with Mark Garagos.
Yeah.
We're supposed to do legal stuff.
Yeah.
But a lot of stuff, times legal, especially now, turns into political.
Yeah.
Political legal, because it's never been more legal political talk. Yeah. So we start breaking down special prosecutors and things and this, Scooter Libby and blah, blah, blah. And then you get the tweets like, hey, man, I thought you were going to talk about the murder cases. And like, look, first things first, we're going to talk about whatever we want to talk about.
Right.
And your job is to sort of calibrate yourself in terms of what's interesting to you and make it interesting to other people.
Absolutely.
You're essentially sitting at the dinner table of life telling a story, and the story may be about something that people at the table aren't familiar with or even aren't interested in, but it's your job to make it interesting.
Right, such as Google mapping where your apartment was, where you smashed the car. You got your car smashed.
Ah, I like that. Anyway, Tony, what's going on?
Hey, I appreciate your guys' format. Even if you don't take a ton of calls, I know your other shows, Drew, I call in every now and then as well, and that's more specific to that. So
I think
it's right on target. So
all right, thanks, Tom.
As one of your loyal fans, I think you guys are good.
All right.
Hey, do you guys ever get up into the Bay Area? I know you guys do a lot in the Southern California area, but you guys need to get up here, take a dip in the ocean.
I love it up there.
I have never been in the ocean up there. I hung up with Jay Leno 7 minutes ago, and Jay said, I got a good idea for my car show. And I said, what is it? And he said, what if you took one of Paul Newman's race cars, identical to how they were 1985, we took it to Sonoma Racetrack, and you see if you can beat Paul's lap time.
Ooh, that's interesting.
In it. And I was like, wow, that is interesting.
Yeah.
And so I shall be coming up to at least wine country. I'm not
sure.
No,
that track is really nice, actually.
I know. But, you know, I was a little disappointed because Jay said Laguna Seca. And I was like, oh, good. I know that track well. And then I paused and I said, oh, it can't work because they changed the configuration of the track. So there is no comparing your lap time to the other guy's lap time. And then he said, all right, did I say Laguna Seca? And I went, yeah. And he said, I meant Sonoma, which is a super technical track, and I'm super slow on. So now I'm going to have to up my game a little bit.
I want to go up. When are you going to do this?
There was a discussion of getting a shakeout session on a 935 on Newman's 935 up there at some point in the future. And now that I think about it, it'd be nice to combine those two times. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't know, somewhere in July or something.
Well,
like
let
that.
Me know. I might go up there.
It's pretty cool.
You'll spend the weekend in wine country, essentially. And
if it was me, knowing me, it'd be leaving Burbank on a 7 a.m. flight and coming home at 6:30 in the evening or something. But anyway. But the track is amazing. Yeah.
Tweet that out if you come up there. That'd be cool to see you guys racing up there. So I'm sure you'd draw a crowd. You got a lot of fans up here, so it's good stuff.
Thank you, Positive Tony. What's going on?
Nothing. Hey, just checking in with you guys. I know you guys are both into health and fitness. I know Adam with the jump rope. Drew, it sounds like you're more of a gym rat.
Yeah.
You know, I do a little bit of all that, but I was at the gym the other day, and it just kind of struck me. You know, it's like you see people doing, like, the women, and I'm kind of torn because I kind of like it. They're taking care of themselves, but they'll do an hour and a half of just butt-specific exercises. Mm. And it feels like it's kind of like, Adam, you'll put it more eloquently with your silk tongue, but it feels like it's the unraveling of our society in some ways, that this is the focus of the vanity. You know, we're kind of reaping what we sowed.
A female ass has become the great
symbol.
Yeah,
the Kardashians, it's what everybody is doing. I'll see women doing, you know, hip band exercises with, they're just kicking the straight leg back for an hour.
Well, a couple things. First off, Kardashians and then those yoga pants that everyone's wearing. You can blame the yoga pants because that's the other thing that's driving it. Also, the thing that I was most sort of disturbed about my return to the gym. I'd just been skipping rope and shadow boxing for a long time, but I decided, you know, you got to join a gym and try to get a little strength back. So I joined a local gym, and I hadn't been inside a non-boxing gym in a long time. Just a straight away medium size, got some free weights and some mechanical stuff and a treadmill and blah blah blah. Nothing exciting.
You're the one that that goes to?
Sort of medium size.
In Pasadena, or you just
no? Okay, I got to go.
It's expensive. Yeah.
Oh, it is. It is. I have a very limited amount of time for the gym. Yeah, she can turn that into a day. I like got to go the one that's closest and fastest and in and outiest.
Come to see my garage, because I couldn't do it if it weren't in my garage. I don't have time for it.
Well, you can do it if it's.
Have you seen my garage?
When have I seen your garage? I passed through your garage multiple
times.
That's
what I think. Well, the weight's in it, right? Yeah,
I can do it if we shot a scene in your garage a month ago.
Yeah, yeah.
If this place is 3 blocks from my house, it's on the way to work and from work, and if you can just do in and out 35 minutes, hit everything and run back out again, it's perfectly fine. Yeah. I get you. When it becomes a to-do, when you have to go meet somebody and, you know, and then you have to carve out 2 hours and the place is across town. And then, you know, afterward, you got to shower and you get yourself back together and stuff like that. No, it's just 35 minutes in and out, back on, right on to it, on the way home, on the way back, whatever. But anyway, I was surprised at the amount of people sitting around and looking at their phones. It's a weird thing. Guys just sitting on the bench. But he's not doing a bench press. He's sitting on the bench, you know, like in between curls or whatever. And these guys are looking down at their phone. They're not talking. They're texting and looking and looking and texting. And it's like,
that's the world we live in now.
Not my world. Yeah. You're looking at the gym, and instead of throwing around the iron, everyone's standing there looking at their phone.
Or they're taking pictures of Instagrams.
No, they're not doing that. But it is funny that in this place that you've come to solely for movement, like solely to burn some calories, put some muscle on, or whatever it is, I see lots of people just stood still, just staring at their phone.
Yeah.
It was weird. Tony, thanks for listening. And I'll shoot a tweet out if me and Leno get out to Sonoma and do that with Newman's Cars.
Love it.
Now I'm worried.
All right, buddy. Thanks, Tony.
I don't want to beat him.
Right,
I don't want to get killed by him. It's interesting. Very technical, that track, Drew.
Can't wait to see it.
Yeah. John, 25, Washington.
Hey, guys. Love you guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, man.
Drew, I've heard you say it a couple times throughout your medical career, spanning, whatever, 3 decades, 4 decades, that you've gotten more like philosophical in your approach to patients.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? things of bioethics or more like broad concepts like free will or what?
No. Although I have thought about all those things and I spent a lot of time thinking about the whys rather than the hows, and I spent most of my life, you know, working on the hows, which is what biology is. More in the category of who am I to say? Who am I to tell somebody how to live their life? I can help people that want help, but if somebody doesn't want help, what's my obligation to help them see what I think they should want, right? And I've just gotten a little more philosophical in the sense of relativistic might be a better word, which is, you know, if somebody wants to smoke pot and I can see objectively it's affecting them and or whatever, fine. If that's up to them, that's how they want to. Or if somebody is a heroin addict and really doesn't want to get off heroin, well, that's to me a little rougher because I know the disease is affecting their judgment. And if I could put them in a room for 3 weeks and take them off drugs, and they'd think very differently if they got off drugs, but I can't. And so what is my responsibility and who am I to tell people how to live their lives? It's that kind of musing, I think, is, you know, and quality of life versus quantity of life and certain kinds of life versus, you know, versus just living as long as possible, right? I think people should want to live a good life rather than live as long as possible. And then you sort of bleed into the area of happiness and what makes people happy. And so that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. Does that make sense?
So like letting go of outcomes and stuff.
No, not necessarily. It's really about exerting my, I wouldn't even call them desires, my point of view on somebody else's motivations and desires.
Hey, but what, sense. Yeah. John, I don't know if you're here with me on this, but
was I making sense?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I don't have patience, but I have people. And my problem I can't – once they've decided to go down this road continuously that I disagree with or it's not serving them,
yeah,
whatever it is, I end up just going, I don't care. Like I don't want to be around them because it's
saying.
A turnoff to be. It's like it's weird to be around. Yeah. It's weird to like you said, you can tell someone not to smoke and they go, I'd like to smoke, but do I have to sit in the same car with them with the windows rolled up? Like I just went out of the car.
Yeah.
And it's kind of weird because this is a friend or a loved one or family member, and you're just finding yourself going, it's nothing I can do for you, and I don't want to be around you though. That's the weird. That's the part.
Well, but you have all that history with your mom, with her opposition to defiance, and that's what makes it so intolerable to you. I can tolerate. It's not intolerant to me. It's just kind of sad to me, and I don't like it. But
no, I can tolerate it, but it makes you know, if they go, hey, why don't we hang out anymore? I think because I don't respect you, or I'm not turned on by you. Like I find myself.
Let me drill it down even further because for me it goes into what kind of life do you want to lead and what is a good life and then what makes people happy, right? So that's really where I get sort of more truly philosophical. And mm-hmm. I think we don't ask those questions anymore. And I don't think we even know what I mean when I ask those questions. If I say happiness, most people don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. They really don't have me define the term.
I sort of disagree in the happy part. We don't talk about fulfillment and achievement and stuff like that. But we don't talk about happy. Well, no. What we've done is
there's two different kinds of happy. I'll tell you what we've done. I'm going to do this for PragerU, by the way.
Oh, you are?
Something like this, yeah. There's two different kinds of happiness. There's hedonic happiness, which is sort of like euphoria. And then there's eudaimonic happiness, which is sort of like living a certain kind of life, right? Does that make sense?
Sure.
The fulfillment, yeah. Nourishment, all kinds of stuff. And we've decided happiness is just woohoo. So happiness is all euphoria. No, my heroin addicts are all euphoric when they get their first hit. Not happy people. Not happy. The euphoric, they get hedonia here and there, but not happy.
No, we've decided. And Madison Avenue has decided that you can get happy with a parfait from McDonald's. Now, to you and I, not only does that not make us happy, it makes us unhappy because we're thinking about the calories.
None of that. You jump from satisfaction and fulfillment to more desire. So you go, I'm full, Now I'm hungry again. I'm full. I'm hungry again.
I don't even get to the part where I feel good anymore with dessert because I'm just like, all right, can't get more calories in. You know, like I literally can't even.
Yeah.
I walk my kids to the goddamn Starbucks every night of the week. It's 4 nights a week. I walk them to the Starbucks. My son goes in and gets exactly what I would get if I had
unlimited ability to burn calories.
He gets an old-fashioned donut, like the thick, heavy, kind of brownie, glazy one, and it's old-fashioned, and it's perfect. It's big as his head, and it's dense, and it's great. And then he sits there, and I just watch him eat it. I just sit and watch him eat it, and I would love it, but I would be unhappy if I ate that donut. I would not enjoy my walk home with my kids. And then I get up in the morning, and I'm now taking the full cold shower. And I don't go from hot to cold, and I don't go from cold to hot. I just go cold.
Oof.
I just go in.
I can't do that.
I take the cold. It starts cold. It's a funny thing. It's a weird thing. All those years of like waiting for the shower to heat up. Now I got to jump in before it heats up, and it doesn't heat up. But what I'm saying is if
it's
you
not
turn
the full cold,
if you turn the nozzle a little bit counterclockwise. Well, if you turn it half a turn counterclockwise, it's hot.
Yep.
If you turn it a quarter inch, just a little bit counterclockwise, water comes out, but not at a great rate. So if you turn it a little hard, a little more water comes out, but now you're moving toward the sun. So I have to turn it just enough to get it to spit cold water at me. But sometimes if I turn it too much, like, oh, it's going to get warm, and I jump in and just go full cold.
I have a freaking inferiority experience every morning. I'm like, it's not as cold as Adam's. It's not cold enough. Adam's in a colder shower now. I got to make it colder.
Don't ever even go to warm. Just jump
so
in.
Ridiculous.
Let it piss on you for 45 seconds or a minute. Just cold piss water on you and then just get out and towel it off. You'll be fine. You'll be better with True Car.
Oh, yeah.
Love myself some True Car. Over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles from over 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. So if you want to buy new or you want to buy used or previously owned, as we like to say over here, you get upfront pricing info, discounts off of the list price, a better buying experience overall. You see what others paid, and you lock in your price. You connect with your local certified dealer. Get the quick, easy buying experience. Get your price. Get your certificate. Go there and get the same car, apples to apples. There's lots. Every car has four different engine options now, and paint, and interior. I mean, you could take Drew's old Porsche. You could get that thing, that Porsche, mid-60s, or you could jack it up to $125, depending on what you want with. So make sure it's the exact same car, lock in your price, and then go pick it up, new or used. It is True Car. Yeah, so I'm with you, Drew, and this sort of happiness thing, or here's what I like to do, or here's what feels good, that leads literally to suicide.
Leading a certain kind of life is not feeling good all the time. Doesn't always feel great. It's not always woohoo. It's hard sometimes, but you lead a. It's more nourishing.
It is all there is when it comes to life, and yet the pursuit of maybe we shouldn't have pursuit of happiness.
Well, by the way, I think they interpreted it as something different.
Yes, we should have the pursuit of hard work.
Yeah, they didn't. They just sort of meant pursuit of.
It's the pursuit of sat. It's the yes. That's what they meant. That's what they meant.
Yeah,
the pursuit of satisfaction.
Yeah,
not the pursuit of happiness. Or yes, I think Madison Avenue has redefined. Maybe since Have a Coke and a Smile from old Bill Cosby. I wonder how happy he is today. Either way. I was laughing on my show because I was like, I have my theory about if you can dance, you can get away with anything.
Yeah.
First, Michael Jackson. And then, like, when you bring up Chris Brown, it's like, God, he balled his fist up. He punched Rihanna right there. Have you seen him move?
Seen him dance?
He can move. It's true. He can move.
Bash your head against the dashboard.
Yeah, but he can move.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
But he can move. It's so funny when people do it. But I also have this theory that it's sort of my Don King theory, like, you know, hair puffed up, waving little American flags, saying only in America. And like, he stomped a man to death in St. Louis for $50. You know, 'cause the guy owed him. Stomped him to death. And by the way, nobody's ripped off more black guys than Don King. And, you know, his pitch is like, hey, man, you get away from that Jewish guy. Let the brother in here. I understand. I feel your pain. He's ripped off everybody. He stomped a guy to death. He's the worst person in the world. But he's lovable Don King. It's my Ellen dancing at the beginning of her show theory. Here's how Ellen feels, and here's how she would like you to think. Here's who she wants you to think she is, this person who dances. I've not found that to be true from anyone who's worked with her, that is her actual personality, but that's what she's pushing forward. And then I was thinking the other day, remember Bill Cosby? Remember the beginning of the Cosby Show?
Oh, yeah.
Bill Cosby not only did a dance, but he did a happy dance.
Yeah.
He did a joyful, goofy celebration dance. That's what Bill Cosby wanted you to think was going on inside.
So distrust anybody that dances, is what you're saying.
Anybody Maybe. Who dances and wants to show you, this is what I do. It's a literally compensation for what's going on. It's my Rosie O'Donnell thing. Rosie O'Donnell didn't used to be a different person. She used to be a teddy bear stuffed with marshmallow fluff. The angriest person on the planet was a teddy bear stuffed with marshmallow fluff when she had a daytime talk show.
The variety show.
She had a cutie patootie chub club. Who do you think that was? That was her overcompensating for what was going on inside of her. You don't get that without whatever's going on the other side. You know, like Bill Maher doesn't go, I got to put on this John Oliver, whatever. I got to dance. I got to put on this facade. They just go, this is what I do. But I don't need, there's not this other thing that's, but basically the preacher who's gay and hooking up with guys in bathroom shower stalls and then talking fire and brimstone about a man laying down with a man. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's the version of that.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Not the protest. Here's what you do need, though, simply say.
Yeah.
Protecting your home should be easy. In the past, it was not easy. But with Simply Safe, there's no installation appointments, no drilling of holes, no getting locked into contracts. It's comprehensive, professionally monitored home security online. Simply Safe, simply with two I's, S-I-M-P-L-I, safe. Each system is a security arsenal, entry and motion sensors, high-def cameras, everything you need to keep your family safe. CNET called it comprehensive, easy-to-use protection, and the batteries last for years. You stick it up on the wall. It's up in minutes. It arrives complete, and when you move, you can take it with you. That's right. They were the editor's choice for home security in 2014, and you can order them today and be protected by the end of the week. Again, with an arsenal, motion detectors, high-def security cameras, everything. Get 10% off right now when you go to Simply Safe Adam. That is SimpliSafeAdam.com. Go to SimpliSafeAdam.com and you get 10% off your Simply Safe system. That is SimpliSafeAdam.com.
All right. Yeah. Happiness, man.
So did you guys – Joe Rogan, I guess, went off on me a couple days ago. What was that? I didn't even hear what it was. Do you know?
I haven't heard it yet myself. I've just read tweets online.
And what was something about drugs again or something? Or I guess because I was on The View. I think they re-aired something I did on The View. I don't know.
They re-aired it?
But why did I've never had any problem with Joe Rogan. It's so weird to me. Why don't I go on his show or how do I get booked on there, Gary? Is there a – can you help me with that?
Have all of the fans tweet at him.
What
you can call him, but he does all the booking himself. So there's no, if a publicist comes at him, he basically writes that off. He does it all pretty much himself.
What was his beef with you? And what did it have to do with The View?
Probably something to do with pot. Because what was no issue?
What was The View?
Oh, you know what? It was the Steve-O episode, I think.
So it was a re-air or something?
No, Steve-O came back on to do another episode, and I think they got into it about you. Hold on, I'm reading about it.
Okay, so let me know.
Poor Drew.
Yeah, I know it's weird. I get more negative stuff than anybody for reasons it's hard for me to understand because usually it's misrepresentation, right?
It's so weird. I don't know anymore. I have
right.
I have situations that are like yours, I like to kind of leave the names out because I usually just don't want to give anybody any whatever. But it's like I make pretty clear statements and then they get pretty clearly misinterpreted and then they just come back, twist it out. And then I honestly don't know if people these days are just looking for some traction. I don't think Joe is, but or they really think this is a problem that needs to be straightened out.
Go ahead.
I have a rundown here. It's kind of one of those Stern-esque rundowns where it's just all mishmash.
Yeah, yeah.
I can try to find the actual clip because I've got a pretty good idea now. But the two topics that they say came up around you is that Joe asserted that you don't think hermaphrodites are a thing and that you got fired from CNN for speculating about Hillary Clinton's health, which we've already established is not true.
All right, so it's just sort of weird.
Big Bad Drew.
There it is.
Big Drew.
I should just send him this tape.
What rhymes with hermaphrodite? Quick. What is
stalactite?
Appetite.
Hermaphrodites like that. Okay. What is what's the thing with hermaphrodites?
I don't know.
I don't know what that is.
There's intersex, which you don't even call it hermaphrodite anymore. And there's mosaic, you know, hermaphrodites. There's all kinds.
But that's a weird place to take a stand, isn't it?
I know, because it's not something I've ever said anything about.
And you got fired. You didn't get fired from CNN for Hillary stuff.
No. The CNN show, the HLN show, had been determined to stop 3 months before I ever said anything about Hillary's health care. Not her health, but her doctor is what I was talking about.
You told me it was canceled before any of that happened.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Yeah. Well, it just goes down. It'll go down as however it goes down.
That's the new reality, right? You're right.
Well, this is why it bothers me when everyone jumps on everything because it's like the other week, it's like I got a bunch of tweets or saw a bunch of headlines like Mike Pence punches special need kid in the face. And it's like, he did what?
What?
No, here's the sad part about where we're at. I read the headline and I already go, now.
Well, the headlines are a mile away from the story.
And they're like, he smacked this kid in the face. And then underneath, there's like, he elbowed him in the face. And it's like, his arm went out and
he turned around and
his jacket brushed him. I don't know. It's unclear whether than more than his sleeve touched him. It's unclear to me what happened.
It's weird. It's very distressing.
And then
because you could just say anything. And then anything becomes truth.
And then later on, after me and a lot of people jumped on this kid, and I was mainly jumping on the news story that don't turn this kid into a hero. You're not supposed to be coaching up the vice president of the United States when you're 10. Then it turned into the kid having Asperger's or so, autism. Mm. The kid had autism. But I mean, I don't know. Who doesn't have autism now, if you want to say something? Autistic kid. Then it turned into news people were making fun of him for having autism. That wasn't the situation. And also, I would also say this. If somebody says, you know, somebody does something, whether it's physical or emotional or whatever, like, hey, they just get up, they go walk over, they do this thing, and you watch the tape, and the person looks completely capable. And then later on, you go, hey, you can't say that about that person. That person has severe retardation or something. It's like saying, I saw a guy get out of his van and go walk across the street and kick a homeless guy and then get back in his van and say, that guy's confined to a wheelchair. It's like, that guy has polio. It's like, all right, maybe he does. And you're making fun of someone with polio or autism or whatever? Oh, maybe I am, but if the person seemed quite fine in when I was watching them, then it's kind of weird that you're saying you're making fun of somebody with, when you don't know you're making fun of somebody with, because the person seems like not only a 10-year-old, a mature 10-year-old, like a fairly capable 10-year-old. Like there didn't seem like, oh, come on, now you can tell, you know, he's off or there's something going on. So they took whatever he had and turned it into something more. Because
Spence turned around and his coat brushed against him. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
That was it.
Let's talk about something happier, like BarkBox. How about
Philly cheesesteaks out there now.
Rex loves these things. 4 to 6 natural treats, super fun toys, picked around a surprise theme every month. That's right. You just tell them how big your dog is. You choose a plan. It is 1, 6, or 12 months. That's the plan. Then BarkBoxes are shipped on the 15th of every month. You can cancel any time. And you set up a plan beforehand. It's 1, 6, or 12. And then cancel it if you want. Free shipping in the continental U.S. If your dog doesn't like something in the box, they will send you something for free. Just send it back, and they'll give you a new toy for free. All edible treats are made in the USA or Canada. That's right. I know that Philly likes everything. You don't have to send anything back for him, do you?
He'll eat the box that the BarkBox comes in.
The BarkBox box. But he fetches. And my dog likes to fetch. He likes anything that's squeaky. He just tears stuff up. So it's all made in the USA or Canada. Again, you can cancel anytime. Free shipping in the U.S., continental U.S., and as I said, you can cancel and send something back if you don't like it. And for a free extra month, all you do is go to BarkBox.com/Corolla. BarkBox.com/Corolla. When you subscribe, you get a month for free. It's crazy.
All right. Thanks, you guys, for listening, tuning in. Go to AdamCarolla.com if you need anything. Go to Corolla Drinks. You want to see where Lynette's going and all that good stuff. We got live shows coming up. Again, Irvine Improv Thursday, June 15th. Dennis Prager up on stage with us. Love him. And Oxnard Levity Live, Thursday, July 6th. Guest David Koechner up on stage.
Oh, he is the greatest. He's such a nice guy.
He's the sweetest.
And Lee, his wife.
Lee's great.
Yeah.
And he has a kid named Sarge.
Oh, that's cool.
That's cool.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen
Prager? Prager is one of the best, too.
Oh, yeah. But have you ever seen David do improv, though? I saw him do improv once. It just was like, woo, because he does characters and stuff
so
well.
Watch it on Levity Live Thursday, July 6th. Andrew, what do you got?
I got DrDrew.com. Gary, what do we know what's up right now from a Dr. Drew podcast? Oh, it's just all callers. And send up for the email at DrDrew.com. We have a weekly infusion newsletter, and also you can submit your questions there. We do try to address them on Weekly Infusion with me and Spaz. And then me and Bob Forrest have the This Life podcast and the Dr. Drew podcast. If you have suggested guests or people you want, again, Gary or me on Twitter, you can just we read all that stuff and we'll check it out. But it's all at DrDrew.com. Please check it out there.
So until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
The Corolla Drinks Comedy and Music Tour. Live music, stand-up comedy, and buttloads of mangria. June 17th in Long Beach at D Piazza's. June 22nd in Fresno at Sequoia Brewing Company. And June 24th in Seattle, Washington at Showbox Soto Lounge. With special guest comedians and bands in every city featuring Loxy. Baby, let's roll. Plus, comedy from Matt Edgar. Tickets and more information are available online at CorollaDrinks.com. The Corolla Drinks Comedy and Music Tour. In Seattle with Lynette Corolla and Ray Oldhopper. In Long Beach with Mike Dawson and the Smokin' Kills.
Standing in the backyard, looking for a tree to climb.
June 17th in Long Beach. June 22nd in Fresno. June 24th in Seattle. The Corolla Drinks Comedy and Music Tour with Loxy and Matt Edgar. Get your tickets now at CorollaDrinks.com.